WSHU delivers trusted news reporting, keeping you accurately informed, and uplifting music to delight and surprise you. It's what we're here to do and what you count on. I'm Ann Carrick. Your financial support gives our reporters the resources to separate fact from falsehood. It also brings a daily source of inspiration through classical music. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU. We're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things, with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. 20 city-owned vacant lots in Hartford will be turned into new housing. A probe exposes alarming conditions at a Long Island dog breeding facility. Environmental officials urge Long Islanders to use less salt on icy walkways this winter. Plus, who's got the best chance of winning the Republican nomination for governor of Connecticut? Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Caron. The state of Connecticut and the city of Hartford are jointly investing $4 million to convert 20 city-owned vacant lots and structures into new homes. WSHU's Ebong Udama has the details.
Governor Ned Lamont recently signed the state's new housing law. He says part of his agenda is to create more affordable housing and home ownership to help revitalize and stabilize urban neighborhoods in the state.
In Hartford, with an awful lot of renters, and they just can't afford to do what they're the rent right now, and we're giving them a chance to have a stake in their community, ownership. And I love ownership and a stake in the community because you care about the community.
Hartford Mayor Arunan Arulampanam says his city has the lowest home ownership rate in the state at 23%.
But in West Hartford, where there's a 70% home ownership rate, in Glastonbury, where there's an 80% home ownership rate, that wealth stays in that household and it's built and it's passed on to future generations.
Hartford and the state are spending $2 million each on the project. The money will be allocated to smaller Hartford developers to build or rehabilitate single and multifamily homes on the 20 vacant lots across the city. Officials hope some of the homes might be ready for occupancy by next fall. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
An investigation into conditions at a Long Island dog breeding facility uncovered alarming conditions by an animal welfare organization. WSHU's Shelley Hassman Kadish has more.
Sick puppies kept in dirty, vermin-infested conditions were caught on tape at Sportsman's Kennel of Manorville. An investigator for Humane World for Animals, formerly known as the Humane Society, obtained work at the kennel. The investigator documented roaches in the dog's food and animals with ailments ranging from kennel cough to skin sores. According to Newsday, records show Sportsman's Kennels failed 9 state inspections between 2010 and 2025. The state sent an unannounced inspector to the kennel following the claims. Sportsman's Kennel says the allegations do not accurately represent day-to-day conditions. Shelley Hassman Kadish, WSHU News.
The U.S. Senate will vote tomorrow on 2 bills to lower health care costs. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports on where lawmakers from our region stand.
The deadline to enroll in coverage through the Affordable Care Act is Monday, December 15th, and it's not clear how much the plans will cost because it depends on what Congress does in the next few weeks. Democrats, including Senator Chris Murphy from Connecticut, want to extend the premium tax credits.
In Connecticut, there are about 250,000 people who get their insurance through the Affordable Care Act, nationally about 22 million. In Connecticut, the average annual premium increase coming starting January 1st is over $6,000.
The Republican proposal would get rid of the enhanced credits and put the money into health savings accounts for people who buy certain plans. Both the Republican and Democratic bills would need bipartisan support to pass the Senate. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
Coming up, how Aaron Stewart is testing Connecticut Republicans' appetite for something different. Local support for After All Things comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
We have a special lineup of programs for you this holiday season with songs, carols, and stories for Christmas, including annual favorites like A Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols and David Boucher's A Victorian Christmas. We also have music and stories for Hanukkah and Kwanzaa, and music that welcomes the winter season. There's something for everyone. You can find the full schedule at WSHU.org.
A third high-ranking New York State police officer is retiring amid an investigation into whether top commanders use their positions to get access to this year's Ryder Cup golf tournament. The Albany Times-Union reports an acting staff inspector allegedly gave dozens of complimentary passes to friends and family. At the time, the inspector was the commanding officer of Troop L. That's the state police bureau that covers the part of Long Island where the tournament took place in September. A Great Neck realtor will have to pay hundreds of tenants after subjecting them to unsanitary conditions with no heat, hot water, or other utilities, according to the state. Blue Sky Management will pay the state more than $670,000, and they'll also pay each resident $100 for each day that they went without heat or hot water over the last 3 years. Connecticut's child advocate says 18 to 21-year-olds shouldn't be in adult prisons. She said they face solitary confinement, strip searches, and other threats to their mental health. She recommends they go to state prisons for juvenile offenders as young as 15. As winter settles in for the season, New York State has a message for residents. Don't be salty, WSHU's Desiree DiOrio explains.
The New York State Department of Environmental Conservation wants residents to use less rock salt when possible because it corrodes infrastructure and contaminates water. That's why the DEC named its public awareness campaign Don't Be Salty to suggest alternatives. They include shoveling snow and ice first before applying salt or switching to sand instead. The DEC says just one teaspoon of rock salt can pollute 5 gallons of water. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Two millennial Republicans are competing to be the Republican nominee for Connecticut governor. Who will the party decide has the best chance of winning? WSHU's Ebong Udama spoke with the Connecticut Mirror's Mark Pazniokas, who's done in-depth reporting on this. Their conversation is part of the collaborative podcast, Long Story Short.
The Connecticut Republican Party has traditionally been run by wealthy elite from Fairfield County, so it must be interesting to sit down with former New Britain Mayor Erin Stewart to figure out how she hopes to change that. How does she want to change that in her run for governor, considering she's a 38-year-old firefighter's daughter from New Britain?
Erin Stewart leans in very heavily to how different she is from the previous two Republican gubernatorial nominees, Bob Stefanowski, who ran twice against Ned Lamont, and Tom Foley, who ran twice against Dan Malloy. They're wealthy businessmen, Tom Foley from Fairfield County, Bob Stefanowski from the shoreline town of Madison. Erin Stewart has been successful in a city that is Democratic and where 63% of the people who live there are people of color. Big Hispanic population, decent Black population as well. And her pitch is that the party needs to expand the base and that she is somebody who's been able to do that. She is also very different stylistically from the time she was elected mayor of New Britain at the tender age of 26. She has shown herself to be a digital native. She's very comfortable on social media. She has, you know, kind of this salty way of talking to people. You know,
tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, there are some casual profanities as you talk to her, which is unusual when you're talking to a gubernatorial candidate who is speaking on the record.
Yes.
And she makes no bones about that. And in the run-up to her announcement last month, she did a series of YouTube videos, which were deliberately a bit provocative. The first one was a story about this very weird incident that happened at City Hall in New Britain, where there was a Democratic alderman who later acknowledged he was drunk and had an issue and was questioning her legitimacy as mayor using vulgarities that I think would make a Marine blush. And she quoted him in full on this first video. And, you know, that kind of caused some ripples in Republican circles, or as Aaron said, caused some pearl clutching down in
front. That's kind of edgy stuff, right?
Yeah.
Now tell us a little bit more about her. She's won several re-elections as mayor in a largely Democratic city. Isn't that what Republicans would be looking for?
Well, that's certainly her pitch. And when she was elected 12 years ago, New Britain was having some serious financial difficulties. She stabilized finances in New Britain. There's been new school construction. And even, you know, Democrats said, you know, she's done a good job attracting some new downtown development, some housing that has been inspired at least somewhat by mass transit. Now, of course, like every urban mayor who has some success, it also comes with a lot of help from the state of Connecticut. Her budget was certainly backstopped by significant state funding, which again is certainly the norm in urban districts throughout the state. On the downside, you know, her school district is one of the 10 lowest performing ones. Again, that is a challenge of a lot of urban mayors. But as her campaign goes forward, because she does have a 12-year record as mayor, there's good and bad in that. And she will have to live with that and make the case that she was overall shown herself to have some executive experience, as well as the being different politically as somebody who can talk to a broader audience, quite frankly.
Now, she's going up against Ryan Fazio, who is from Greenwich and also young. She's 38, I believe he's 35. There's an issue here with how close either one of them want to be to the Trump administration, considering that they're running in Connecticut. One issue that has come up between them, the fact that she went to a meeting in Washington that Fazio decided not to, and his big thing has been energy.
So she went to a meeting that did have an energy angle, and she met the Interior Secretary Doug Burgum. She said she invited Senator Fazio to accompany her. He remembers the conversation a little bit differently, that she was calling with a desire to get some background. But in any event, both of them are trying to walk the line you have to walk in Connecticut if you're a Republican. Job one is they have to qualify at a nominating convention for a primary. Job two is one of them have to win the primary. And to do that, you need to be on good terms with the president. And both of them, who have kind of kept their distance over the years from the president, were very quick to note that each of them have voted all three times for Donald Trump. In my interview with Aaron Stewart, she did offer some criticism, or at least some regrets, about his immigration policies. She applauds very much the efforts to have greater border security that really faltered during the Biden administration. But she questions whether or not the emphasis on rounding up undocumented immigrants who do not have any criminal involvement, whether that's a good use of federal assets.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you.
Mark Pazniokas is Capitol Bureau Chief and co-founder of the Connecticut Mirror. I'm Ebong Udama.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, you can listen to us on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or download the free WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. And for even more from this station, join us over on Instagram. We would love to connect with you on there. You can find us at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your evening, and we'll talk tomorrow.